This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 373.5, up 3. July corn, 381, up 3. September corn, 388.75, up 3. May soybeans, 960.25, up 11.5. July soybeans, 964, up 11.25. August soybeans, 962.5, up 10.5. May wheat, 497, down 5.25. July wheat, 496.5, down 3.75. September wheat, 505.5, down 3.75. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Tuesday afternoon, with soybeans higher on technical buying at the Board of Trade and rumors of a China buying spree in the next couple of months. Corn borrowed strength from soybeans, and rain in the Plain States dampened wheat prices. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 cents at 346 to 369. Soybean bids 9 to 14 higher at 9.25 to 942. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 cents at 346 to 370, while soybean bids were 11 to 12 higher at 940 to 960. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 3 cents higher at 359 to 377, soybean bids up 11 cents at 940 to 965, and wheat bids down 4 to 7 cents at 410 to 464. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 12 cents higher at 972 to 980, basis steady, range from 12 to 20 over the May. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 318.60 to 338.60 per ton. That's up $4.80, with basis steady, ranging from 5 to 28 over the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 1 to 3 higher on Tuesday at 371 to 388, with basis steady to 2 cents lower at 3 under to 14 over the May. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 3 to 4 higher at 370 to 373, with basis steady to 1 penny higher at 4 under to 1 under the May. Soybeans ended 10 to 12 cents higher on Tuesday at 958 to 963, with basis steady to 2 cents lower at 2 under to 3 over the May. And new crop wheat bids along the river were steady to down 4 at 479 to 489, with basis steady to 4 cents higher at 18 to 8 under July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 3 cents higher at 390 to 391. These same elevators raised their soybean bids by 10 to 11 cents, with quotations at 981 to 982, soft wheat down 5 to 6 at 497 to 504, and the Milo ended 3 cents lower at 439 to 441. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 358 to 369. New crop soybean bids at 892 to 920. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 354 to 369. New crop soybean bids were at 907 to 928. And in the southern part of the state on Tuesday, new crop corn bids range from 358 up to 373, new crop soybean bids 896 to 922, and wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois. Those range from 458 up to 485. That completes our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 159.60, up 77 cents. June live cattle, 150.42, up $1.47. August live cattle, 147.97, up $1.15. April feeder cattle, 213.20, up 95 cents. May feeder cattle, 210.80, up 75 cents. August feeder cattle, 212.75, up 95 cents. April lean hogs, 63.17, up 7 cents. May lean hogs, 71.70, down 72 cents. June lean hogs, 78.47, down 30 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday the 14th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.44 higher in the range of $55 to $63.25, with the weighted average carcass price of $61.34. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading a dollar lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 25 to 29, 4 to 5 weights 28 to 32, 5 to 6 weights 31 to 35, and 6 weights and up 33 to 39. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading $1 to $2 higher, with the moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from 38 to 42. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 11,130 head. And now for the report from the Arthur Sheep and Goat Auction. They had receipts of 234 head. Most of the prices were somewhat lower following last week's end of the holiday demand. Starting with the choice wool lambs, 40 weights were 205 to 232, 50 weights were 217 to 232, and 60 weights were 220. On to feeder lambs, small twos, 30 weights were bringing 195, and slaughter kids, selection ones, 40 weights were 107 to 125, 50 weights, 135 to 140, 60 weights, 150 to 165, and 70 weights were 162 to 240. Now on to feeder kids, selection twos. They had some 20 weight average, bringing $32 to $62. Now for the opening report from the Shelbyville Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 423 head. Compared to last week, steers and heifers were $1.50 to $2 lower. Holstein steers were 50 cents lower. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 160 to 166. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 150 to 156. And choice slaughter heifers, 159 to 163. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 162 to 164.50, and on a dress basis, 258. Heifers on a live basis traded at 162 to 163, and on a dress basis, 256. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 409 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $66.48, and that was 51 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses, $258.45, that was 75 cents higher, and select carcasses were $249.42, and that was 23 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 111,000. That compared to 110,000 last week and 115,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 431,000. That compared to 433,000 last week and 415,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, where we'll hear about the use of antibiotics in the livestock industry. That's coming up after this. The use of antibiotics in cattle and livestock production has been an issue of late, and many producers are trying to figure out what will happen if they have to change how they've been doing things for years. Dr. Keith Belk, professor at Colorado State University's College of Agricultural Sciences, discusses the issue.
As you know, there's a lot of pressure globally on several sectors of society to reduce the risk of conferring resistance in populations of microorganisms. And of course, one of those is in agriculture and primarily in livestock production. What is happening right now is FDA has electively agreed with all of the major pharmaceutical companies that beginning this year that they will begin to voluntarily withdraw subtherapeutic use of antimicrobials.
Then there will be another big change come December of next year.
All of the antimicrobials used in livestock production, and I think it entails all of them with perhaps only one or two minor exceptions, it will require a script or a prescription from a veterinarian that's in a veterinarian-patient-client relationship to obtain those antimicrobials. And when you talk to veterinarians that work in this area, they're very concerned that that is going to overwhelm them.
Belk says it's important the industry doesn't make adjustments based solely on opinions and rhetoric. He thinks it's the industry's best interest to proactively address the problem, but there will be some give and take. The last time the U.S. ended a marketing year with more than 2 billion bushels of corn was the fall of 2005. Some are beginning to consider the possibility that much corn might be on hand this year, too. Todd Gleason explores how this could take place and the reality of the situation.
We'll start with the nationwide average cash price of corn back in 2004. That was $2.06 a bushel. This would have been sold by farmers prior to the 2005 corn harvest. University of Illinois ag economists state the price comes from the tail end of the old era and does not reflect the economics of corn production today. The old era pricing started back in the 1970s. The new era started with the 2005 crop and the introduction of the renewable fuel standard. It created a market for corn-based ethanol that this year reached its maximum. On the bright side, with respect to both old and new crop grain prices, the consumption levels needed to reach a 2 billion bushel carryout result in a stocks-to-use ratio for corn of only, writes John Newton from the University of Illinois, 14.8%. He says, based on recent price stocks-to-use analysis, the implied price associated with the 2 billion bushel carryout may be consistent with the current marketing year USDA cash price projection of $3.70 a bushel. Of course, USDA has yet to release a current ending stocks projection of 2 billion bushels of corn.
I like to think of the USDA and the WASDE reports as a slow-moving ship. And so even though we may ultimately get to a number higher than 1.85 billion bushels of corn carrying out in the marketing year, the USDA is not going to go there today. It'll take some time. They'll progressively make adjustments because it's a lot easier to make slower adjustments than walk this thing back later in the marketing year.
Here's the upshot of that statement. USDA's marketing year average cash price for corn looks right, but the carryout figure may grow to match it. The cause for concern, then, is the price implications associated with a potentially big crop in 2015. The corn crop to be harvested this fall, says Newton.
If you were to carry out the balance sheet into next year, what are some of the potential implications? And while 165 bushels an acre and 89 million planted acres could get us to lower our carryout at the end of 15-16, the other side of that coin is what if we have another whopper year? What kind of carryout could we then reasonably expect to have at the end of next year? And could that then again be above 2 billion bushels of corn? And what kind of corn prices would we see if that were to occur?
Now let's back up. Before this were to happen, you'd have to believe this year's ending stocks figure will be closer to 2 billion bushels than the 1.85 currently projected. Frankly, usage is better than that. Collectively, the pace of corn consumption for ethanol, exports, and feed and residual use is supportive of current WASDE projections, writes Newton in his April 13 FarmDoc Daily posting to the web. A 2 billion bushel carryout, he says, seems like a distant and unlikely outcome given current consumption indicators. USDA's June 30 stocks report should provide additional clarity on the ongoing pace of corn consumption. I'm Todd Gleason.
As Governor Bruce Rauner works to balance the Illinois budget, money has been taken from various funds to help pay off debt. President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer, explains how this will affect Illinois roadways.
The governor and the legislature worked out, I suppose you could call it a compromise. They had to sweep money out of funds that the state had, money that's supposed to be used for something else, but instead it got swept. is the nice word they use. So in other words, they had to raid these funds and take the money that's in there to pay off everything else. So in one day, poof, $350 million in money that should go for transportation capital improvement projects was gone. The money is being used to fund who knows what, you know, in terms of the rest of the state budget.
Schaefer clarifies that this is not a concern for this year, but in the future, it will put some strain on road projects the state can afford.
It's not money that was going to be used this year, because all the money that's already going to go into all the road projects for this fiscal year and this construction season is already committed. They could not touch that money. But that's $350 million that's gone.
The funding of Illinois infrastructure is a well-known issue. There has been no increase in funding sources such as the motor fuel tax for decades, and with recent swept funds, the need to increase funding for infrastructure projects has become even more important.
The governor has promised or has kept making promises that we would have a capital plan this year. You know, when we talk about a capital plan, we're talking, you know, a long-term plan. And they would include a funding mechanism, which would probably mean some sort of a motor fuel tax increase. It may include other types of funding mechanisms to go with it. We don't know what.
Schaefer says fixing Illinois roadways and other transportation infrastructure is no small undertaking.
But again, if we don't do it, then we're going to we're at that point right now that we're remaining steady, but the last couple of winters have been really terrible on the state's infrastructure, and you can see it. You can already see the roads are you know, you get on Route 16 right out here in front of the studio. You know, it has spots where it's getting rough. I mean, but then even on the interstates, it's the same way. So the idea is to get a long-term commitment for a plan, find a funding mechanism for it, and then, we reap the benefits, because a good transportation system is good for our economy. It means we can move goods and services. It means we can get from one place to another, make deliveries, which is something that just not Illinois, but the entire country has kind of fallen back on over the last couple of years, because neither Washington nor Springfield has had the real guts to put together a capital plan that makes a long-term commitment to transportation.
Since these will be long-term projects, Schaefer says long-term funding goals need to be made and kept by Illinois government.
You talk to any road builder or any engineer, they can say, you know, well, they come back in and they scrape off 2-3 inches of asphalt like on I-55 every couple of years. Scrape it off, put new asphalt on. It's nice and smooth for a year or two, and then we're back in the same problem. The real problem that happens here is that it's the foundation, it's the work underneath that's fallen apart. It's almost to the point where, and, you know, the state did it. Interstate 80 across northern Illinois. I mean, they took it all the way down to the bare ground and rebuilt it because they had to. You can only repave it so many times, it doesn't stand up. And we're facing that dilemma with a lot of our highways in Illinois.
Again, that was president of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.